Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
You know, each year more than 200,000 children are treated in hospital ERs for playground-related injuries. My guest is Dr. Gary Smith. He's a professor of pediatrics, emergency medicine, and epidemiology at Ohio State University. So, Dr. Smith, playgrounds. You know, I'm tossed about this. Yes, I don't want my kids getting injured at playgrounds, but I want them at playgrounds because I don't want them sitting there in front of the video games all the time.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think playgrounds play a vital part in getting kids off the couch, getting them outside, making sure that they're active. What we want to do, though, is provide safe environments for children to be active in. And one of the things about playgrounds is that they're designed to be safe play spaces for children. So that's why I think playgrounds are a perfect place for children to grow, to challenge themselves, and to have fun.
Okay, so what should we look at when we look at playgrounds if we're taking our kids over? I mean, there's a playground down the street from my house, and there's also a little free ice rink. And I'm always sad to see these things not even being used enough. But when we walk around there, what should we look for? Because, Dr. Smith, some communities can't afford to put that recycled rubber tire thing underneath. And tell us, what should we look for on playground equipment?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, you did mention that over 200,000 children are injured each year and treated in hospital emergency departments for playground-related injuries. So these are common sources of injury, but that's partly because children use them so often. There are really, the main thing to know is that the major source of injury on a playground is from a fall. It accounts for about three-quarters of the injuries. And falls cause damage because of the energy that transfers the child's body when they land on the surface below, and that's determined by the height of the fall and the surface that they land on and how cushioning that surface is. So when parents ask me what are the top three things to think about when we're thinking about playground safety, I'm going to tell them surface, surface, and surface. Those are the top three things. There are other aspects about playgrounds that are important, but the surfacing is absolutely vital. It needs to be maintained, and it needs to be cushioning. So those are the things you could look for. If something, if a playground has like weeds growing up through it and the surfacing is kicked out from underneath the play equipment, which is often the case, those are surfaces that aren't going to help protect the child when they fall.
So those wood chips, I mean, start with that because you see those the most often. So if there's, you know, weeds popping up, but the wood chips, I've never liked those. I actually preferred grass and dirt under my swing set. Before I would, my husband's like, oh, let's put down those wood chips. But I hate those things. One wrong move and it's jammed into your leg.
Well, you know, the way that wood chips are designed, and there's different types, okay? The one that the folks use on public playgrounds are called engineered wood fiber. It's a fancy name, but the reason why that's important is that it will crush down and interlock and trap air so that it really becomes more spongy. In fact, it's the only loose fill surface that's ADA compliant. So I've never tried to wheel a wheelchair over the top of them, but apparently that's designed so that you can do that. But the idea is that grass and dirt are inconsistent. It can be spongy, and you know, in your backyard it may be, but in other backyards it may be hard packed and very, very solid, so that if a child falls on it, there's a lot of energy transfer. And actually, grass and dirt are not recommended. They're not approved surfacing. So if you came to me as a parent and said, what should I do? Should I leave the grass underneath or put in wood chips? I would, without any hesitation, say wood chip. But you need to maintain it. And we usually say at least 9 inches of packed wood chips, which means you need to start out with 12 inches. And I'll tell you, most parents, most backyards don't have that depth of wood chips to prevent an injury. So that's really the key. We need to have surfaces that are going to absorb the energy, but they need to be maintained, unless they're simply not going to be there when the child needs them.
Well, certainly I'm going to look at changing that this year. I mean, you know, it just seems that wood chips, plus they attract ants in droves underneath those things. So are there other products or something? I mean, I've seen, Dr. Smith, those really expensive bouncy sort of tire, recycled tire?
Yeah, the fancy word is they're poured in place rubberized surfacing, and they often are made from recycled tires, which is great for the environment as well. But they have a cushioning surface, usually with a relatively thin quarter-inch durable upper coating that's resistant to wear and tear. And those really are the best for high-use playgrounds. So you'll often see them in cities that have the money to do this. Underneath the climbing equipment, which is where the falls occur, you probably will see those same playgrounds with the wood chips or sand out further away from the equipment, where you don't really need a surface that requires maintaining. But the neat thing about those surfaces is that the maintenance is much less. I liken the surfaces to like a vaccine. Children don't need to know that they've been immunized at a young age, you know, when they're 6 months of age. Later, when the virus comes around during the outbreak, they're automatically protected. They don't even have to know they've been immunized. The same thing on a playground. Children don't have to understand that surface has been designed to absorb energy based on the height of that equipment. It's just simply there automatically to protect them. The problem is with vaccines, we may have to give a booster once or twice during a lifetime, but on playgrounds, if you have loose fill material like wood chips, you need to give booster shots really frequently. You need to go in and maintain that surface, especially on high-use playgrounds. It might even be daily, certainly once a week in many schools. So that's the problem with loose fill, and that's why pour-in-place, these rubberized surfaces are so popular, because the maintenance is less. You don't need as many booster shots.
They are definitely very expensive for communities. Now, what about other things parents can do to make sure their kids are safe on playgrounds? So do we take our bike helmets off before playing, or do you want the kids wearing their bike helmets, especially if they're the kind of kids that like to throw themselves off the swing sets?
Well, that question comes up a lot. And unfortunately, there have been a number of children who have actually strangled because their bike helmet got caught on a very tight space. These are children who have sort of slid down between the equipment many times, and this time they're wearing their helmet, and the helmet doesn't pass through, and they end up strangling. And because of that, it's strongly recommended that children do not wear bike helmets on playgrounds. In fact, other things that can cause the same problem are hoods on jackets, or especially drawstrings, which we don't want to see on any children's garments at all, period. So those are things that parents can look for. Making sure the equipment is maintained, that there's no rusting, that the screws are all in place, that there aren't broken pieces, and then making sure that the playground is inspected at least once or twice a year. Twice is best, just to make sure. We're talking about public playgrounds now, that they're inspected at least twice a year, which is often a requirement at state levels, and if not at local county department levels.
Okay, so parents can inspect the equipment. What do you do if you see it rusty? I mean, do we care if there's a little rust on? Because, you know, I mean, some communities, again, can't afford to keep replacing this stuff all the time.
Right, so a little rust won't matter, but what you don't want to see is the buildup of the rust and wearing of the actual parts that might then fail, might break. There are things called S-hooks, which hook chains onto, for example, swing seats. Those need to be all the way closed. They need to make sure that there's not wear and tear, and rust can help hasten the weakening of those. So that's an area that I check when I look for wear and tear on playground equipment. These are all kind of standard things that inspectors will look for when they come through and do an inspection on a playground. But again, if there's one thing a parent can do, because there's a whole course, a three-day course, you need to take to become a certified playground inspector. There's lots of things to look for. And they can go online, by the way, and Google under the National Recreation and Parks Association, NPRA, so National Parks and Recreation Association, about playgrounds. There's the what they call the Dirty Dozen. There's 12 things that they really are the top things to look for. But on the very top of the top is surfacing. And so if there's one thing parents can do, that's what they should be looking for.
They should be looking at surfacing. You're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole, and stay well.